The Institute for Higher Study. 1. At dawn in the campus groves, the migrants descend from their flyways, warblers and thrushes and grosbeaks, to feed and rest by daylight among the hickories and the violets. Here, on his nature walks, the director escorts prospective donors to confirm the inspirations of the psychology for postdoctoral intellection. Naked in faculty housing, sniffling and spitting, the Nobelist in biochemistry reassembles himself from the calamities of sleep, caring for his teeth. Already the boy waiting for the school bus is a non-entity, grandfather revered in legends of Mao and the Long March, father brilliant at paleontology and handball, mother fearful even of the grocery. The driver can remember summer days when this was all cows and corn. 2. In a cubicle off the third floor stacks, Corinne has taken her vantage on the day, her humanity and the cosmos, awaiting a grand leap of intuition in regard to the dimensions of quantum gravity or the poles, perhaps, of elliptical galaxies. At mid-morning, she will not understand that outdoors it is not Copenhagen, and at noon, when her junior colleague brings tea, she will not know that Kepler is dead. Around these earnest corridors, the gear of erudition is piled, discipline by exquisite discipline, curators of the whole human agenda, evolved persons of Oxford and Chicago, or Berkeley and the Sorbonne, failing lovers and hypochondriacs, they contemplate linear vibrations, the carnal elements of Moroccan masquerade, Abelard of Bath, Dionysius of Alexandria, biodiversity, and Hegelian dialectic. The shadow of a jetliner flashes across the lawn below visitors' parking and shatters in the birches. Auras of Archimedes and Euclid swirl up in its wake. Elsewhere in their retreats and vigils, nostalgic for Heidelberg and Pisa, Princeton and New Haven, they interrogate the myth of the mad genius, the geometry of superstring compactifications, and the inscriptions of Aphrodisias and Carion. The girls in administration, locals, are collating a financial report, due out frantically in the afternoon mail. Harmon, assistant to the comptroller and a 29 handicap, is proofing the final pages in his cowboy boots. They do not give a damn about the most probable spot on Mount Olympus where Pegasus threw Bellerophon to his doom. Arab blood, Allegra is reflecting, gazing out through an ivied wall, is visible in the coastal towns of China. All great modern ideas, Eon cites Fouquet, have their commencement in Montesquieu. Michael listens, arms folded, as the last speaker of the morning, hardly more than a girl, destroys 8 years of his work. She has an orthopedic appointment at 4. 3. The subject of the luncheon seminar in the sunlit garden room, gift of a pharmaceutical heir, is the spinster in Byzantium. Here and there in the main dining room, over barbecued chicken or pasta salad, they remember the vodka in Warsaw and the bearers in the old Mysore Hotel who brought tea in the morning on tiptoe. At the very heart of things, they are saying, is an immutable antithesis, and it is the unique modern predicament that thought cannot impartially examine itself. In Bhutan, recounts the missionary's daughter, the trout belonged to the king. Oh, yes, draws the aesthete from Topeka, the flesh of the peacock is delectable. Sartre, in his Bad Times, remarks the boar with the scar on his cheek, often thought he was pursued by a lobster. On the grass behind the machine shed, Jack is asleep beside his mower, stoned. Models of the inventions of Leonardo da Vinci are on exhibit in the lounge. 4. An alertness, a vigilance scans the afternoon, the wisteria, the sunshine on the roofs, and the journals of the purest sciences for whatever is intelligible, whatever will make the bones of a book. Deep in the archives, they keep watch on questions that have waited aeons for syntax. A truck pulls up to the warehouse dock, loaded with repair parts for central heating. To the Taoist, Oscar professes, testing his bunion against his other foot, all reality is ephemeral. The soul of the dead emperor may wait tomorrow as a banyan tree. A star may come to rest as a dragon or a pebble in a stream. Giovanni, in his bachelor efficiency, dottore in lettere, istituto venuto, drapes closed and coffee pot charred in the sink, sobs into his pillow. All civilization has devolved upon this preserve, upon this collegium whose reveries fret with death, with pornography and disposable income, who mutter to themselves of fossil civilizations, of the love life of lysenogenic bacteria, and the musical mode of East India built entirely on the cries of animals. Chagall, they are quipping in their footnotes, was certain that Rembrandt loved him, and the Seminoles had a place so sacred that they never went to it. Is not the Mariana Trench, they are asking, the deepest point on earth? Did not John Sloane say of a good picture that it should tell you some of the things a blind man knows about the world? And does not the medicine man with his left forefinger make the zigzag lightning sign? Up one and serving, Ed composes a nasty note to go with the alimony. 5. It is the happy hour in the common room. Some of the more restless are mingling, the more autobiographical, growing wistful or bellicose or morbid, as the case may be, growing extravagant over free elections and how much pedal to use in Mozart, over the sociopath cruising the freeways and the weeds in the Colosseum that exist nowhere else. They wish to quote Keynes on a global economy and defend the right of the vulgar to engage in despicable occupations. For 81 years after its fall, they declare, Vicksburg did not celebrate the 4th of July. And Thomas Mann said Tolstoy had no humor, Dickens humor, but little irony. We may mutate guffaws the Nigerian back to the protoplasmic mass. What is the Pope's position on genetic drift? The holographic ballerina, explains Alice, cannot stumble and therefore cannot thrill. Let us not keep eternity waiting, they cry, and go on to dinner at Rosie's in Casablanca and the Market Inn, waving goodbye and calling good life to thy nose. High in a poplar tree, resplendent in his breeding plumage, the scarlet tanager lifts off into the northern dusk. 6. From behind the news, Piet observes his daughter setting the table in a funk, sees an orphan, and wishes to be an abstraction. Beyond the dining hall windows, twinkling lights secure the campus walks against barbarians of any sort. Hosting his publisher at dinner, although the food is less than continental, Helmut casts preferential looks about the room, confident of his mustache. The solid girl believes she has been abandoned. John is going through the serving line with his wife and toddler. It stares impassively at all who chortle in its face. Maurice and Stella, aging flower children, are having organic food intake in the dining hall of their holistic environment. Emma dozes in her recliner. 7. The faculty string quartet are having their weekly play. Two head bobbers among them, the cellist, a student, ninth remove of Bach, his third-grade son on second violin. The intelligent consumer tidies her birthday list. In the little Cape Cod across the playground, auras of Clausewitz and Machiavelli hover around the chess players. Upstairs, the mate is propped on her bed, chain-smoking and reading Tristram Shandy. In certain dens and master bedrooms, writing their sisters and trimming their nails, they long to recover their certainties, to still their turning lives, whose fates have been to see through so many things. Robin's parents are visiting. The Rangers are playing. 8. Sean walks the dog in his fragment of the night. On a distant street, a motorbike snarls. He ponders, limping slightly from the war, the inability of the Incas to invent the wheel. The superintendent of buildings and grounds mumbles in his sleep.